This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. It's Tom Hartman here with you. The hearings are still continuing with Brett Kavanaugh. Lindsey Graham is questioning is really too strong a word. Setting him up to tell us how what a wonderful guy he is, over and over and over again. He was just quoting Matthew 25. I mean, it's okay, you know. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that in our second and third hour. But for our first hour today, it's Wednesday. Congressman Mark Pocan is on the line with us. This is our weekly Middays with Mark. He is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, along with Raul Grijalva, as I recall. And he represents the state of Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives, Wisconsin's 2nd District. His website, Pocan, pocan.house.gov. His Twitter handle is Rep, as in Representative, Rep Mark Pocan. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
It is always great having you. So I'm curious, what's at the top of your list of things that we need to be paying attention to right now? And if you have any thoughts on what's going on with Kavanaugh and the whole Supreme Court thing in the Senate and them forbidding us from knowing anything about what he did with George Bush.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, I think, you know, the nation's watching the hearing. Yesterday was kind of opening arguments, not really Kavanaugh. Today, Kavanaugh is being asked questions. But clearly, there's a lot of documents that they're not sharing that would, you know, certainly be something for concern for Democrats. I mean, you've got already a president who, you know, is under investigation making a nomination for the Supreme Court with someone who's a very partisan conservative judge, and now they won't release records, or they released, what, 40,000 pages a day before the hearing. You know, not exactly working in the way that it's traditionally been done. So I think, you know, we're all following that very, very closely, hoping that Democrats will hold tight as they're doing the hearing, you know, be strong, be aggressive, and let's make sure that we're giving a thorough review. Second, I think the lawsuit that is going to be, opening up this week, hearing arguments that could unravel even more of the Affordable Care Act, take away people's access to health care with pre-existing conditions. I think that's something we're watching very closely. We know how desperate the Republicans have been to dismantle that. But, you know, for most people, they don't care about the politics of it. They care about if they have a family member with a pre-existing condition, are they still going to have coverage? So I think we're watching that really closely. And then, you know, there's always the various sideshows of Donald Trump. I think one of them being, you know, when he put out about going after two Republicans in Congress who have ethics problems, you know, somehow implying Department of Justice shouldn't go after them because it's his Department of Justice as opposed to the United States Department of Justice. Again, just shows in one more way of that we always see with Donald Trump, it's always about Donald Trump, not about the country.
Well, I think
those are a few things I'm watching.
Seems like he thinks he's king, not president. I should add, by the way, you are for, we've got a couple of news stations that have just picked us up recently, most notably KPFK in Los Angeles, that you are here with us every Wednesday for the full hour taking calls from listeners. And our telephone number is 202-808-9925. And as soon as Louise gets a couple calls up on the board, we will go to that. The thing that shocked me about Kavanaugh, when he was not on the original list, then it came out that he had argued in a law review publication, as I recall, that the president should not even be questioned when he's in the White House about a crime he may have committed. And then suddenly Donald Trump puts him on the list and then picks him. And it seems to me like there's a straight line in all those things. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the biggest concern I think many of us have, right? This is a president who clearly the rope is going tighter around the gang in the White House on collusion, corruption here in Washington. And when the one person that he happens to pick is the person who has said you don't think you should go after presidents when they're in office, and that's what people are trying to get to the documents and to the speeches that he gave around that, you know, clearly that's of concern. I mean, if you have a Supreme Court justice who could be a deciding vote in something that could involve presidential corruption, everyone should be very concerned about something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's pick up some phone calls here.
Sure.
David, in Greenfield, California, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. The Republicans have been very effective in preventing any legislation to safeguard our upcoming elections, as well as the previous ones. I wondered, is it possible to get a federal judge to require the states to keep paper ballots for 2 months after the election and do hand recounts for questionable voter outcomes? If people are altering votes in the election, I want to catch them with their hands in the cookie jar.
Yeah, I hear you, and that's a great point. Let me actually address it in two different ways if I can. One, I have a bill that would require paper ballots in all machines, mandatory random audit of 5% of elections. You know, a lot of things that would solve this. Democrats have been talking about mandatory paper ballots. I think there's a lot that could happen should majorities change around this. Whether or not you'll get that in place for this election, I don't necessarily see that happening. But there's an article that didn't get a lot of attention, and I think I've got it right here, about funds that we had given that was supposed to go for making sure that there wasn't interference of the elections, specifically around Russia. Originally, it was $120 million back in 2016. Then it got lowered to $60 million, and at the time, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson didn't access it. Then it became $40 million from the Department of Defense, and then recently it got halved again. And they still haven't released the funds. So here we are at a situation where we know that by every measure of any reasonable person, regardless of political stripe, that there was illegal activities around the election from Russia getting involved, and yet we're not dealing with making sure it doesn't happen again. And I think that should be some outrage, and it's gotten very little attention, and I think it needs to get more, because the fact that we're slow walking to the point of no walking, actual monies to address this, that is corruption in and of itself.
Tom in Hudsonville, Michigan, listening on FM 95.3. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hi, guys. I have a question. I want to know why the Democrats haven't been spending money putting together a media campaign that they could maybe buy Fox, NBC, CNBC. They knew that Kavanaugh was going to be a nomination, and they're not doing anything effectively to use money to get this guy against. The popular opinion is not going to be swayed unless they have some TV ads. Why aren't you guys spending the money on TV ads?
Well, first of all, Tom, popular opinion is already against him as a nominee. So there's already polling data that shows that. So I don't know if we need to spend money, especially when you're in the middle of an election cycle and there's plenty of money being spent on TV already, specifically around that. And I think part of what they're trying to do right now is show via the free media, and they're getting a lot of it, about the documents not released and other things. So I think the Democrats are fighting hard on this. I've been happy with what they've been doing so far in the hearings. It's really just started. My bigger concern is, are they going to be able to keep everyone together to oppose a bad nominee, especially during a time period like this and with the lack of information that is unprecedented in trying to approve a Supreme Court with lack of information. But I don't think an advertising campaign on Fox per se is going to necessarily take you beyond. There's already a public opinion is against him becoming a nominee. This is more about some very specific politics, and I don't know if public opinion in and of itself is going to change that.
Clinton in Seattle, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, can you hear me?
You're just fine.
Oh, great. I have a question. Would it be effective for Democrat senators to just walk out of the hearing?
Yeah, so Clinton, there was a big debate on that, and, you know, I have I've experienced a lot of issues both ways. In Wisconsin, when we had a bill to take away collective bargaining rights for public employees, the state Senate left because by law they could hold things up in the assembly. We couldn't. There were pluses and minuses to it. I think more important, if they're going to have a chance to question him, they're still there and able to do that, and let's make sure that process happens, because they may not bring him back again. And while I really, really wish there were more documents, and I hope they fight for another hearing once they get more documents, I don't know if just not showing up would get you what you're getting right now, which is the awareness about what's happening. So, you know, I think you could argue it both ways, but I would probably err this side on saying don't walk away. Be there to ask the question.
Congressman Mark Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, also representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin, on the line with us, the guy who outed Alec, in fact, back in the day on this show, among other places. It was great. Congressman Pocan, taking your calls for the hour at 202-808-9925. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan in just a moment.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's 16 minutes past the hour. Back with more Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman Program right after this. And welcome back. Billy in St. Louis, Missouri, watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Billy, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Congressman Pocan, Tom, thank you for taking my call. I have so come November, blue wave, we take back both houses of Congress. We move forward with impeachment. Is it in that moment that it sets us up into a constitutional crisis where the Constitution clearly outlines in various articles and amendments the succession of, to the vice president, to the speaker, in normal circumstances? But is it even possible to think of calling a special election for president, like almost a do-over, or is that just completely out of the realm of possibility?
Yeah, Billy, we've had some talks previously on the show about that. I don't know if there is any process whatsoever to do that. So I think, what we have in place is if Congress should decide to impeach the president, we know what the legal process is in place. But I don't think there's anything in place to have a do-over election. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of bad decisions will have been made by this president should he be impeached that we wish we could just instantly erase, but there's not necessarily a process to do that. So I don't think, as much as it may be good to have something like that in place, I don't think there is anything right now in place that would allow that.
Richard in Iowa, watching on Free Speech TV. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, I'm wondering if Democrats are aware that Chuck Grassley is allowing his image to be used by the Trump family when they're trying to sell condominiums and stuff like that in New York to the Chinese and to the Russians.
No, I haven't heard that. I mean, let's face it. My opinion, this guy's president because he's trying to actually be as rich as he says he is, and he's been doing a pretty good job of getting access around the world to people. And I think by the time he leaves the White House, by choice or not, he is going to be much wealthier than when he went in. But I don't know much about using Senator Grassley's image and what that could mean other than, let's face it, this president's all about this president personally, himself and his family's businesses. And, that's one of the big problems, I think, that should the Democrats take over, we certainly will want to ask a lot of questions about.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you can hear it, Congressman Pocan, but we're periodically getting a loud click that appears to be coming out of your headset. But just FYI, maybe we can do something about it on the break. Or if you've got tech people there to make sure everything's plugged in right.
Sure.
We saw Jared Kushner, or actually I think it was his sister, go over to China and say to a group of people, give money to the Kushner companies in exchange for buying condos in the United States, and we'll get you essentially a green card, a particular type of visa, an investor visa. Can you imagine if Barack Obama had done that, say, with his relatives in Kenya? Or frankly, anybody anywhere, for that matter. If he had, if somebody from the Obama administration had gone to China or some advisor to the Obama administration and said, we'll get you in. I mean, with all the hysteria about immigration and whatnot, did that just fall? I mean, it just got dropped? There was never any follow-up on it?
It's something that the Republicans have been unwilling to take on, clearly. And, we see lots of these around the emolument clause, the hotel around that, around Chinese trademarks, around first country he went to visit with Saudi Arabia, not Canada like previous presidents. Every action this guy does is about getting rich. And unfortunately, this Congress won't deal with it.
Yeah, remarkable. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Congressman Mark Pocan in just a moment. It's 20 minutes and a half past the hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to welcome back to Middays with Mark, with Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls in the Tom Hartman Program. Doug in Reno Valley, California, watching on YouTube. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Mark. Trump picked this guy because he thinks he's going to protect him.
This guy, Kavanaugh.
Is that to assume that the other conservative judges on the court also will protect Trump?
Well, and I think, Doug, that's part of our concern, right? I mean, if you have one person who has in their history of legal work said this is an issue. I mean, obviously, they're going to be an advocate on behalf of the president, not having, no one going after the president while they're in office. So that's of concern. But, you know, let's face it, this court has often voted in certain lockstep, especially on the conservative side. We assume that could be something that could happen, and that's of great concern.
Tracy in Seattle, listening on KOUW. Tracy, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you, Tom. Congressman Pocan, I wanted to thank you for your work to get rid of Scott Pruitt. Fortunately, he left before all the ethics investigations were wrapped up. And I'm curious what might happen with those investigations if there's enough money to conduct the more egregious ethics violations that he promulgated against the United States. And I also have a question in terms of what we can do as constituents to support those on the Judiciary Committee that are seeking to have more time with the documents that have been disclosed.
Yeah, Tracy, so thank you. First of all, on Pruitt, you know, on the Appropriations Committee, I actually tried to get funding because there's so many investigations, so they could actually do what they want to. Republicans refuse to give funding to cover that. My guess is that nothing will happen. So, often when a member of Congress winds up leaving also, the investigations that are out there kind of go away, and that's the price that gets paid. I've got the feeling in this case, while there never was an intention to go after them to begin with, they're certainly not going to now. So that's one issue. Two, you know, whenever you call your member of Congress, I mean, the more you say, give people time to do something, call your senators. If you live in a state where you can have an impact on that, please make those calls. We're going to do our best to make sure people have that ability to look at the documents. But, you know, I think, we're looking at right now potentially an early October vote on the Supreme Court nomination pending some real grassroots activity pending something coming out of even the documents that they have and seeing how much they might be able to work that. So this is all still really new, right? We're in our first actual day of questioning. But, you know, be vocal, be outspoken, work with groups that are organizing around this, and that's probably the best we can do right now.
And, Marcia, thanks for listening. One of our Seattle Pacifica affiliates, this is Marcia. And, Marcia, in Englewood, Florida, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom, and hi, Congressman. Thanks for returning. I've been watching this questioning, and the one question that I've been waiting to have the committee, the Democratic portion of the committee, ask is how Kavanaugh feels about Justice Scalia's decision to take a unanimous vote of Congress to extend the Voting Rights Act. He took it right out of their hands and said, no, this is wrong. We're not going to extend the Voting Rights Act. And Scalia and Kavanaugh is bragging about how he believes fully in a separation of powers, how he doesn't feel that the justices, he is a justice, would ever interfere. Would he do anything like Justice Scalia did, which I find disgusting?
Yeah, Marcia, great point. I think you're going to have a lot of different questions, and that's part of why I think showing up does matter, even though, again, that you could make a case for not showing up because they haven't released the documents. I think you want to take advantage of this opportunity to ask those questions and put them on record. Now, of course, that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to do what they say once they're a justice, but the best we can do is at least try to see how they think and where they're coming from. And I think, from voting rights to presidential power to choice to all the issues that are important, there's going to be a lot of questions asked, and don't forget, today is the first day of questioning. Yesterday was kind of introductory statements. Let's just hope that we get as thorough as possible and we can get more access to documents.
Barney in Detroit, Michigan, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Congressman, and hi, Tom. Listen, I've been losing my mind over this, and I don't know how I haven't had an anxiety attack or a stress, heart attack from all the stress I've been under, and it's next to impossible, as far as I'm concerned, to not stay on top of what's happening. And Congressman, I just need your honest opinion. Do you think that Kavanaugh will be confirmed? Do you think it's all my misery is for naught? And do you think he will be confirmed?
We have about 30 seconds, Congressman.
Yeah, Barney, I'll tell you, at this point, pending some so-called moderate Republicans having enough conscience or intellectual ability to question this, I'm not seeing that right now. And I think it's going to be difficult unless some of them show some courage and maybe their inner John McCain.
Yeah, it seems that a pressure point would be Roe v. Wade with Collins and Murkowski. Do you think that's viable, Congressman?
Yeah, Collins has already made some comments that seem to be not very strong on this, so I am nervous on that.
Okay. Well, it's Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, taking your calls. Pocan.house.gov is his website, and his Twitter handle is Rep. Mark Pocan.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We'll be back in just a moment with more of Congressman Pocan answering your questions for our nonprofit stations. We're going to go back to the hearings. Welcome back. 34 minutes past the hour. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. It's Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman Program, our regular Wednesday first hour feature. Sunny, listening on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, my brother. How are you?
I'm good. I assume, Congressman Pocan, you're good?
I am good.
Hey, okay. Sonny. What's up, Sonny?
Well, I'd like to make a citizen's arrest for the chaos that we're all going through. If that was happening to a CEO that I work for or anything else, all this chaos, I wanted some advice from you that if this is possible to do this. As a citizen of the United States and a concerned person for all humanitarians out here.
Yes, Sonny, I don't know if I have a great answer for you. I don't think you can do a citizen's arrest on anything here. I certainly understand where your concern is. I mean, every single day I get a new tweet. Today I think the president said he's done more than any president in history in the time he's had, and I thought right away, that slacker Abraham Lincoln, you know, if he just worked a little harder. I mean, this guy is obviously something new for any of us in our adult lifetimes. Lots of reasons to have concern, but I don't think, the best way you're going to affect it is by going to the polls in November. If you don't like the people and what they're doing, who are in charge, change the faces of those in charge. And that's the best, unfortunately, that's the best advice I have at this point.
Yolanda in Detroit, listening on SiriusXM. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to know, what could the Democratic Party do if they do take control in November to simply impeach Kavanaugh? What are the numbers? How many people do we need to just simply impeach him if we find out he committed perjury or if he lied during his confirmation?
I honestly don't know the answer to that, Yolanda.
I do.
You do? Good. Thanks,
yeah.
Tom, because I don't.
It's a simple majority in the House to present the articles of impeachment to the Senate. And then in the Senate, for the trial to result in a conviction, it requires 66 votes, two-thirds. It's the same as for the president.
Okay, that I wasn't sure. So, but I think right now, I mean, what we've been listening to, you know, I've heard pretty much only non-answers, right? I mean, you're being told, well, I have to follow the case law the way, you know, you're not really getting a lot of specifics in many cases. So I'm not sure if you'll catch him on something like that. What I'm really concerned about is, at minimum, let's share all the documents so there can be a thorough review. Let's not, you know, have something we find out about later, and then that process is going to be very, very difficult to change. So, you know, I'm hoping the Democrats in the Senate will hold very hard. I think the public wants them to. But, it's unfortunate where politics has devolved to in this country, from the very top, the president and all the craziness we get out of his tweets, to congressional leadership that forget they're a separate but co-equal branch of government. It is a tough time, and the best way that we can react to that tough time is to change the faces of those people who are in charge because they're not doing their jobs.
Tyler in Ohio, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Tyler?
Oh, sorry, you say Tyler?
I did. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, how you doing, gentlemen? I appreciate you taking my call. Just a couple different things. Definitely been listening to your guys' show for quite a bit now. I live in of course, you know, Ohio is quite the red state, and it's a frustrating thing because, you know, like Congressman Pocan said, I actually live in the district of Congressman Jim Jordan, who, you know, if we would get to the point where he would ever be the Speaker of the House, God help us all, because he's a Trump disciple, no doubt. But, you know, that's the thing. I looked up – the funny thing is I looked up voting records on the last time his election was up. And the funny thing is the way it's district in our state, if you look out the map, it's just – it's so all over the place. And
Tyler, you know, forgive my interrupting, but what's your – there's a whole bunch of people who want to ask questions of Congressman Pocan. What's your question for him?
Well, I guess at the end of the day, my question is so from the standpoint of the documents have not been released, knowing the time frame that we know, and this is maybe a little more off the wall, but, I mean, everybody's looking at Kavanaugh at this point. Is there any possibility at all that there's other people other than Kavanaugh that could have things in those documents that implicate them because of the seriousness of events at that time, you know, 9/11, April Danger, invading Iraq? Is there a possibility that there might be incriminating things in those documents, and that why Bush is being allowed to comb through them and it's taking so long for all those documents to be going through?
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Tyler, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, maybe there's something there. My guess, though, is this is just they're not releasing everything that could show the full picture of what Kavanaugh is about. And again, not having that full picture and having a vote before the Senate is a disservice to the American people. So I think we just need to push and push and push, and I think they've done a good job of trying to do that. The question is, how much will they be able to hold out until they get all documents, and will they at some point release more but not have a hearing? Then that's not fair. There's a lot of questions out there, but I'm not sure it's specifically related to information on others. I still think it's probably largely related to the actual views and opinions of Kavanaugh himself.
Darius in Los Angeles, listen on KPFK, if I'm saying your name right.
Good morning. Thank you for coming on the air in Los Angeles on KPFK, longtime member supporter, and you have now an audience of a possible 60 million people, which is great.
Thank you.
Can the Democrats leave the Senate preventing a quorum to be reached and a vote on Kavanaugh to be cast?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. I apologize, Darius.
Can the Democrats leave the Senate preventing a quorum to be reached?
Oh, could they walk out of the hearing so there's no quorum?
Walk out, and the vote on Kavanaugh to be cast, so preventing a vote.
Oh, I see. So the ultimate vote.
No, the quorum of 51 present in the Senate. And therefore, there is no vote.
But I'm sorry,
what
Congressman.
Can they do?
Yeah, I don't believe there's an option to do that, Darius. I don't think that would work. So, you know, really, it's. I think the tough question is going to be, and a number of progressive groups have pushed Senator Schumer on this, is that are they going to be able to hold the Democratic votes together? Because there are a few Democrats who are in swing districts this November that are worried about how they might vote. So I think, you know, the real test is how hard will the Democrats work to try to stick together if they're not getting documents and other things aren't followed. That's the question we're watching.
Yeah, and the numerical question to Darius's point, which is an excellent point under other circumstances, is, you know, it requires 51 senators to be a quorum, and Mike Pence can be the 51st. But with John McCain, they were down to 50, and so which would have made Pence the 51st. But now Governor Ducey in Ohio is going to make sure that Kyle gets sworn in right away so that McCain's seat is refilled at least until December so that the Republicans can continue to control the Senate and have a quorum. So, you know, bottom line answer. Terry in Louisiana, Missouri, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, it's okay, Tom. I'm in Louisiana.
I'm sorry.
I just want to start by saying that I am a geologist in the in energy sector, and I used to be a Blue Dog Democrat, and I've sort of been squeezed out by the hyperbolic progressive attacks on my industry, and it's just the way it is. But that's not my question. My question kind of deals with why I identified with as being a Blue Dog Democrat 10 years ago. And it's on the issue of trade. And I'm just curious why so many liberals have now change their position on the issue of free trade? I'm just curious. I know you haven't, Mr. Tom. I've been watching you for 15 years. I disagree with you on some things, but I've liked you. I know you've been very consistent, but I'm just curious why so many so-called progressives are now all about free trade and globalization.
Yeah, that's all. First of all, I don't believe that's at all true, Terry. I think the confusion is it used to be fair trade versus free trade. And I think the last time we had a vote in the House, which was on giving President Obama trade promotion authority, about 85% of the House Democrats voted against giving a Democrat president that, because we would probably qualify more in the fair trade category. I think the problem is right now it's not about fair trade versus free trade. It's about Trump trade, which is this, not even a theory. It's his random use of tariffs against sometimes countries like China, sometimes countries like Canada, in a very indiscriminate way without any kind of set policy. So, you know, just this morning, Richard Trumka, we had a press conference with on a future of work, wages, and jobs in the future report that we just put out. It's just so hard to figure out where Donald Trump is on trade. His actually staff is a little more articulate. We're meeting with them, Mr. Lighthizer and others, and you know, I think there are some areas where they're being better about trade on labor standards and on getting rid of the ISDS provisions, which kind of are a super judicial process that a lot of us don't like. But Donald Trump is totally unclear because he does not understand trade. So I don't think you're seeing any Democrats change the position where they're at on trade. We just have concerns about this indiscriminate use of tariffs. You know, generally they're used against countries that violate the rules. One would argue China is a huge manipulator of currency. We're not even touching that issue. But fighting with Canada and Europe right now may not be as logical. So the problem is there isn't a set theme to Trump trade.
Yeah. And not only that, he's using national security as the rubric to do this, which is, you know, these are not permanent fixes, Congressman.
No, this is a mess.
Yeah, a mess. Yeah, that's the perfect description. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour at 202-808-9925. It's Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman program. His website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit tomhartman.com for audio and video archives.
More of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. And welcome back. Jules in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Jules?
Excuse me, Jules. Yes, that's you.
Yeah. I just want to make two points. Number one, this idea of withholding documentation for the approval of a judge in itself is a travesty. And number two, you know, it seems like a blatant travesty. And number two is, to me, Trump is like a Trojan horse. If you recall, you know, he comes in and he's got all of this Pandora's box of corruption. And so I just want to make that point that if any third grader or fourth grader looks at these hearings, they're completely unjust by the withholding of the documents, I mean. What do you say? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jules. I mean, I think, you know, the idea that they're not releasing documents and still trying to move this forward, I mean, I think what they're trying to use is the election as some kind of a timer that if, you know, if things don't get done before the election, they think it's a trigger in some of these Senate races. So they're making it even more political than the politicalization that we've had of Supreme Court confirmations. So we'll see what happens. I mean, again, they're asking good questions. I'm trying to follow it a little while we're talking, I have to admit. You know, and we're hoping that they're, you know, going to get some better straight answers than what I've heard so far. But it is, I think, unprecedented to hold back this much documentation. And on the president, I mean, you know, this is just unprecedented where we're at. I mean, with a president who does this much, I think, in such an odd way that seems so unpresidential. You know, I think the contrast from Barack Obama to Donald Trump is, you know, truly amazing. And still, I think we're trying to figure out how this all works out. But in the meantime, it just seems like when all your friends are given immunity and your campaign manager and half your staff have been indicted, or not half, but a good chunk of your staff, you know, I think we're getting an idea this is a unique presidency, and I think it's going to have some unique outcomes in the near future.
Grace, we have a minute and a half to the break. You got a quick one for Congressman Pocan in Detroit? You are in Detroit, Grace, Michigan.
Hello.
Hey, Grace, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Tom. Congressman Pocan, I'd like to know why. The Democrats must obviously know the extreme net of web organizations that the Koch brothers and their affiliated John Birch Society hold. And the fact, and Senator Whitehouse brought this up, that this appointment is through the Federalist Society, which is a Koch-funded organization. When are we going to find a way to eliminate organizations that have such an extreme hold on our government, who make and write our laws? Democracy can't be upheld as long as there are subversive organizations out there that are undermining our very own democracy in exchange for corporate fascism.
Okay, we have 20 seconds, Congressman.
For the Democrats to be able to understand...
Grace, we need to let the Congressman answer your question.
Yeah, Grace, I mean, you know, part of it is free speech, right? They're going to have organizations like Federalists. I think our real question is, if you asked most people what the Federalist Society is, you'd get a very, very, very small number of people who understand, and you're right. They are the ones that are submitting these names, and they have way too much undue control.
So we need more transparency?
Absolutely.
More media coverage?
We need information out the best we can.
Yeah, amen. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. We'll be back. It's coming up on 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be back in just a moment with more of your calls for the Congressman right after this. Welcome back, Congressman Mark Pocan, taking your calls for the hour. David in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, can you hear me?
Just fine, David.
Excellent. Yes, I watched or listened to the hearing this morning with Brett Kavanaugh, and I was very impressed with Senator Feinstein's asking the question, but he seemed to run around and not answer it. And so what I was wondering is, it seems like he's refusing to release his records so that we can study it, and doesn't this mean that he's refusing transparency? And can't we do something about that if he gets elected and information comes out later indicting him on certain issues? Can we not reverse the decision and take him out because he refuses to release this information? If something
David,
is in it that shows that he might not have got voted had we known about it, if they refuse
David,
to release it, can't we do anything?
It's going to be very, very hard to prove after the fact, which is why we need to do everything we can to try to get additional information now. It's just going to be difficult. I mean, any kind of impeachment process, how often have you seen impeachments in history? Not very often. And I think that's why the fight is now to get information. And we all need to make sure that, one, our Democratic senators have all the moral support and spine they can possibly have, and that the Republican senators have to take the grief for not standing up for what the normal process is. But now is the time to fight, not hope for something afterwards. I just think that that is not going to necessarily happen the way we want it to.
And I should add, if people want to call their senators, the telephone, they should, regardless of their party or position. The telephone number for the switchboard at the Senate is 202-224-3121. Jacob in Baltimore, Maryland, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to zoom out a little bit from the Brett Kavanaugh confirmation and just take a look at how our Congress, you know, even before Trump, has been passing successively fewer laws, and that, you know, less and less legislation, while simultaneously our society and technology are changing at ever faster rates. And so we're seeing a greater and greater sort of, dissonance there between those two. And I was wondering, hearkening back to Louis Brandeis, if we could take a page out of his book and the sort of idea of laboratories of democracy. I'm a scientist, and so I think, you know, we've got 50 states here, which means that we could be running lots of different laws in parallel. And I know that we do that informally, but if we were to formally, you know, as an attempt to try to get around this partisan gridlock, say, we have different ideas about how these different types of laws might work well, why don't we let different states at the same time sort of compete against each other in terms of these, you know, laws and practices, have some standardized benchmarks and see which ones actually work better and tell them, you know, to actually put up and prove that their ideas work better than ours.
Congressman?
Yeah, Jacob, I think you bring up a great point. Unfortunately, for the current Congress to give any more power to states, you know, they're for local control until they're not, and often they're not. So I don't necessarily see federal government allowing an expansion. But having said that, there's plenty of things right now. We are, on a regular basis, Local Progress, which is the progressive group for local elected officials, SIX, which is the state exchange for state legislative elected officials, and the Progressive Caucus are talk on a regular basis, because we can see progressive reforms happening at the local level the most often, sometimes the state level, because there's some states that can do it. And then we've got some examples to lead from once we do change who's in charge in Congress. So you're right, things can happen there. Of course, you know, I think what you're arguing for is, could we even see more with federal law allowing that? I don't think you're going to see that necessarily with this Congress, but there are plenty of areas they can already lead in, are leading, and we're looking to that for the moment that we do take control. We're going to have some best practices to work off of.
Kate in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. We have just a minute and a half to the end of the hour here, Kate. A quick question for Congressman Pocan.
Yes, it's proven that there was Russian interference and the election is proven to have been false, wouldn't it be possible for all of Trump and everyone associated with him to be pushed out and a new election held, since they are all invalid?
Yeah, Kate, again, there is not a process to do that. So, you know, if...
tragically.
Yeah. I mean, so tragically. So if there is something that we find out that the White House has done, the president or the vice president has done, that's impeachable, then that would be the progression we can go. The president clearly seems to have a lot of his friends and associates who have gotten immunity. That tells me something. I'm not sure about Mike Pence, but we don't have anything like that in place to do the do-over of the election. And so what we have to do is get out in November and do our own do-over by changing the faces of the people who haven't done anything about the last 2 years.
Congressman, 15 seconds for final thoughts.
You know, let's just keep watching this Kavanaugh nomination. Let's keep focused on the November elections. I am optimistic the American people are on our side on these issues, but it only happens if we're hungry and we work hard to get it done, and I hope everyone is really hungry.
Yeah. The one thing that I would flag for people is the Chevron deference. This is a huge, big deal that the billionaires want desperately, along with mens rea, and nobody even understands what these things are, but they're going to be, you know, they're promoting them heavily, and it's going to be before the Supreme Court. So, Congressman, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. As always, appreciate it.
It is great talking with you. We will be back with more of our program. We're going to be talking about the hearings and Kavanaugh, all this kind of stuff. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.